Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
For those that don't know me, my name's Daniel Hagen and my wife's name's Chelsea. She sends her love. We have four beautiful children. I have one of my children here with me on this trip. I always try to take at least one. And her name's Abby or Abigail. And where's Abby? Is she here? She's probably playing with Mia somewhere, is she? Her cousin. She's going to help me a little later in the message at some point, which will be fun. And I just want to read you something. I read this morning. Who was here this morning? Put your hand up. It was pretty awesome, wasn't it? I only got halfway through the message and then demons started coming out left, right, and center. So that was pretty cool. Paul said, I don't come with just persuasive words, but with... Now, words are important, especially when it's the Word of God. But he said he comes with a demonstration of power. Power, dunamis, miracle-working power, which is a part of Ruach, by the way. Anyone know what Ruach is? It's the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the wind of God. You can't have revival now without Ruach. I'll say that one more time. You need to shout out amen if you're with me. You can't have revival without Ruach. Yeah, I like this side. We're tilting on this side tonight. This side's just warming up. It's okay. And you can't have revival unless first we have repentance. Still warming up. That's okay. And we can't have revival unless we have reformation. I had a whistle over here. That's good. And a part of having faith for revival now is putting actions to our faith, because faith without works is... We don't want to be dead, right? We don't want dead religion. Jesus rebuked one of the churches in the book of Revelations and he said, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. It was dead religion. There's a lot of churches everywhere. But unfortunately, many are dead. Doesn't mean God's given up on them and neither should we. That's why Jesus was loving enough to bring correction and truth to say, wake up! We need an awakening. We need to be revived with the Holy Spirit. Reinhard Bonnke said, it's the power of the Holy Spirit or Ruach that changes a nation. And I'd take his advice. He saw 79 million people in 79 years saved. 79 million in 79 years saved. That's pretty cool. Let's give Jesus some praise for that. And of course, a part of our vision this year, the theme for this year is revival now. I love the language of revival now. It's not revival maybe, revival soon, revival in 100 years. It's revival now. I told you this side's got it going tonight so far. Revival now. And we got together with our national team and prayed and really sought the Lord and then spent further time sort of nutting out the nuances of what revival is, because we all have different, potentially different definitions of what revival is, and that's okay. And so we come up with really five pillars of what we believe, and certainly not limited to these things, but what we believe revival is all about. And of course, the foundation is Jesus. The foundation is the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Jesus the revivalist, and he's calling us to look like him, and Jesus lives in us, and we're his body, so that means we're called to be revivalists as well. And you don't need a microphone, or you don't have to stand behind a pulpit. As much as we honor this position, I'm not downplaying it, it's important, but what happens outside of these four walls, really, that's where revival really takes traction. Starts in us personally, yes, it starts, and then God does something as a community, and then it breaks out. Break our walls down. That's what we pray for. if it just stays in here, it's not really revival, it's just a refreshing. I'm not content with a refreshing. I want a refreshing. We need refreshing, but it must flow like a river. If it's just a refreshing and just an infilling, and it's just within our community, then that's really like a nice little dam. And dams are nice, but God's not calling us to be damned Christians. Actually, he describes ruach that's been poured out. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have ruach in you. And he describes that ruach. It's supposed to be not a dam, but a river. And he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's ruach. That's the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to flow. Amen. We're not supposed to bottle it up. Sometimes fear can stop us from stepping out. Sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just keep doing what we've always done and nothing changes, but we have to step out in faith if we're going to see this nation shaken with the gospel, if we're really going to see revival now. I believe God has given us that theme, that prophetic theme of revival now, but it's up to us to believe it, to receive it, and to act on it. And to say, God, we don't want our faith to be dead. We want our faith to be alive. And so one of our pillars is respond or response. What's our response to what God's doing in this hour? Are we content with watching from afar and saying, wow, look what's happening in Ashbury. Wow, look what happened in the 1970s. I celebrate what happened in the 1970s with the Jesus Freaks, the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus People Movement, and I say, do it again, but I don't just want to watch from afar or be some historian with revival. Bring commentary from afar. We want it now. And God wants it now more than us. And if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? That's the sort of people that you want to get around. That's why I like our churches and our communities, because I'm inspired by you. I see what's happening on social media, the street outreach and the continual, consistent pressing to get the gospel outside of these four walls. I love it. Because we're not content. And we know there's so much more. And we want to give everything. We want to lay our lives down. Repentance. Our response to God. What is it? Are we fully yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? In our prayer life, in our fasting, in our giving and generosity? Are we capturing the attention of heaven like a man named Cornelius in the book of Acts? His eyes go to and fro throughout the earth looking for hearts that are perfect towards him. Another way to really say that is hearts that are hungry. He's not looking for perfect vessels, because none of us are, only Jesus was. Don't get me wrong, the sanctification process is wanting us to every day look more and more like Jesus, and we're hungry for holiness and righteousness. And in fact, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his. That was a little bit soft. Seek first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we become born again. We receive his new nature through the power of Ruach. But the onus is on us, really, from there, with our new nature, to do something with it. We're now partakers of his divine nature, the Bible says. And so we need to look at our own life. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. look at our life and say, God, every day I want to look more like you. What else can I lay down? What else can I prune? What else can I chop off to look more like you? I don't want any areas in my life that are open to sin and the enemy. I don't want him to have any hooks. You know, sometimes the enemy can trick you into thinking that because everything's sort of all right now, that you might get away with that secret sin. But actually, he's got a hook in you. And the devil's been doing this for thousands of years. Sometimes he waits for the opportune time to pull that hook so he can cause as much destruction and consequence and damage as possible. But here's the good news for some of you tonight. God knows every hook. He knows what you do in secret. And he's not devastated by it. Yes, it hurts him, it grieves him, but he can set you free. We can rip out that hook tonight in Jesus' name. Shut the door on every devil that's brought destruction. You know, the Bible says that Jesus brings life and life more abundantly. And he goes on to say, it's the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Often the devil does that, and then he gets us to blame God. Kicks you while you're down. Because he's the deceiver. He masquerades. He even tries to masquerade as an angel of light. What does that mean? On the surface, he tries to make things look good. And he sets up false religions. And he tries to appeal to people's emotions with various things. All the bizarre, twisted sexual stuff these days, where society and the media and the government's trying to make that normal and trying to make Christians look like the weird extremists. In like literally within 15 years, everything's flipped. Have you noticed that? That's the devil. He masquerades. And he's been doing it for thousands of years, and that's why we need reformation. I know you guys have been talking about that already. We've got to bring everything back to the Word of God. You have to know what the Bible says. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived in these last days. Paul was passionate in his writings to Timothy. And on one particular occasion, he said, Timothy, the Spirit of God expressly says, it wasn't just a normal prophecy, but he said, the Spirit of God expressly says. In other words, take note, take heed. He said, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The enemy's at work right now. Gross darkness covers the earth. And he's ramped up his mission, sadly more than some Christians are ramping up their mission. And God's calling us to arise and shine in this hour. We can't play games. Religious games are done, over. God's shaking the church. And he's calling us to get real right now in every area of our faith, every area of our life. Now is the time. And we need revival more than ever. I want to read you something from Smith Wigglesworth. Is that all right? Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Just to go back to that, I felt the Lord on that, the anointing. When Paul said, the Spirit of God expressly says in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed or giving over to seducing spirits. Not the Holy Spirit, but seducing spirits, seductive spirits that will try to lure you and distract you away from the way. I was standing in worship and there were three young people standing in front of me and they all had the same scripture on the back of their t-shirt. The way, the truth, and the life. Where are those amazing young adults? You guys stand up. We want to celebrate your t-shirts for a minute. Whoop, whoop. There was someone else as well. There we go. The way, the truth, and the life. And it says on the front, Jesus loves you. I love it. And that's what Jesus said. I am the way. The world hates Christianity because it's absolute. The way, the truth, not one of the truths, not you have your truth and I'll have mine, the truth. And so if Jesus is the truth, that means that every scripture and jot and tittle from Genesis to Revelation is the truth. Because Jesus said that he is the Word. Yes, he walked amongst us in the flesh for 33 years, but before that even, he was the Word. And in fact, in the beginning was the Word. He's described as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's why it says in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image, plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus was always there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if he's the way, then this is the way. Please never depart. Don't be seduced. Get in this. If you're not in it, you will be seduced. There's going to be so much pressure in these last days to conform, to compromise. Especially in this state. And now we've got a whole red state, a whole red country, apart from Tasmania, I think. Some of us might think, well, how are we going to have a revival if the whole country politically is given over to the left? We're in trouble. Amen. God over government. God over government. King of kings. Lord of lords. Here's the other good news. Every revival in history has, before it's broken out, has always had a full-on wrestle with the enemy. We talked this morning about the Jesus Revolution, about the Jesus freaks and what happened in the early 1970s. And we're going to watch a movie. We actually booked out the Maroochydore Cinema as well for an early screening. It's no coincidence of the timing of this movie. God wants to do it again and even greater. You know, the Time magazine in the 1960s on the front cover, a very famous magazine in America. Globally, come out on the front page of this magazine and said, God is dead in the 1960s. And there wasn't a lot of revival, or there were still pockets and things happening, but there was really kind of what we're seeing in our country, a decrease in church attendance. And it wasn't looking good if you just look at things in the natural and you analyze the statistics. It's like, come on, God, where are you? Around 6 years later, Time magazine comes out with another front cover image. And this time it's not God is dead. It's Jesus Revolution. Within 6 years of that first Time magazine, now it's like this massive outbreak and wave of revival amongst the Jesus people. Isn't that awesome? There's some of the images he saw with the mass baptisms. And we believe that God is going to do it again. And in fact, I believe it started to bubble up in 2018 and 17. We started to really see momentum around the globe, even here in Australia, Melbourne. historical events, thousands being won to the Lord, 5,000 people like the Jesus freaks hitting the streets, mass baptisms in St. Kilda. And in fact, in the worship, a young man introduced himself to me named Joshua. Where's Joshua? From Batemans Bay in New South Wales. Let's stand up. Let's give this young man a... When he was 17 years old in 2018, he gave his life fully over to Jesus, got baptized in the waters in St. Kilda, and he's here tonight to tell the story. 3 years later, he's still going hard for Jesus. Glory to God. If you need to be baptized, there's a mass baptism taking place. And I'm so looking forward to being here this whole week. Lee and Peter, thank you guys. If you guys don't know already, do everything you can to get under their ministry this week. They are some of not only the hardest working missionaries in Australia, but the most effective, full-on, laid-down lovers of Jesus. Just a heart to see people lit up and equipped and sent out. And I love the apostolic theme this time. I love it. It's like there's a maturing in what God's doing. And so I just want to thank you guys. Hey, who's looking forward to the 10th ministry birthday celebration in, if you don't know about it already, it's in May. Is it like the 10th to the 17th, isn't it, around that time? We have some of our friends coming. David Hogan from Mexico is coming, which is going to be amazing, if you didn't know that already. For those that don't know, I believe he's like a modern-day Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was known as like an apostle of faith. And he was also known for dead raising, a faith to literally raise the dead. And David Hogan's ministry has seen over 500 people raised from the dead in Mexico over the last 20 to 30 years. Isn't that awesome? I know it's mind-blowing. So it's like, do I clap? Is that, what did you just say? I'll come down a little lower. What did you just say? People that were literally dead in the last 20 to 30 years have been raised back from the dead because of the power of Ruach, the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a few claps over here. I'm going to say it one more time. I know, it could be messing with your head. If it's messing with your head, you still need some more time to get your mind renewed. Let me explain. Our whole faith is based on a man named Jesus that was dead for 3 days and rose again. If you don't believe that, your faith is futile. Further to that, a whole lot of people raised from the dead in the Old Testament. And then not only did Jesus also raise others from the dead, but so too did his disciples also raise people from the dead. My hero in the faith, Mr. Frank Clancy. Stand up, Frank. One of the funniest but most powerful testimonies. You raised someone from the dead that had been dead for quite some time. The ambulance had given up and they had no more medical procedures to do. They put the cloth over him. You were able to put your hands on his feet. Just after the wife kicked you in the nads, by the way. Am I allowed to say that in church?
The groin.
That's probably more official, isn't it? So somehow you managed to deal with all that, get your hands on the feet of the person in Cranbourne, not over in Africa, in Cranbourne, in the southeast suburbs of Melbourne, and say, life come back into the body. And then all the equipment started going, beep, 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 beep. And he come back to life. That's awesome. Let's give Jesus some praise. Come on. Ruach. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit. It's actually the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that's available to us now. In fact, I would say if you're a believer, available is not a very accurate word. It's more than available. It's in you now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So it shouldn't be a surprise or a mind bend, although I'm happy if your mind's being renewed when you hear this, because testimony often causes things to happen again. And in fact, the Hebrew word for testimony is ud, U-D, or ed, E-D, and within the definition of that word has the implication of do it again. Witness and testimony, those two English words. Do it again. Why don't you say to the person next to you, God, come on, do it again. We want more. But you've got to step out in faith. No guts, no glory, no newsletter story. There's a price to pay for the anointing. David Hogan, he has lots of opportunities to minister to people that don't have very good health care. There's no hospitals. It's hard sometimes practically to get opportunities to pray for people that have passed here, because quickly they get taken to the morgue and there's all these loopholes and things. But I want to encourage you, any chance you get, pray for people that are dead to come back to life. You might get an opportunity like Frank at an accident scene. Don't be nervous. In fact, I remember, Frank, they said to you, sorry, mate, you can't come near here. And you said, excuse me, I'm a minister. If you don't let me pray, I'll take it to the highest authority. That's the sort of guts you need. It's a no-choice anointing. And he wasn't lying. He would take it to the highest authority, Jesus. And we let them do what they can do, but if there's nothing else to do, then who else do we go to? Jesus. But there's a price to pay. You can't be in the middle, on the fence, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot with God. That's horrible, painful. You'll be depressed. You'll hate yourself. The enemy will be able to just constantly be hacking at you. And you'll be so, if you arrive on the scene, well, you have the opportunity to bring glory to God, because you're always just inconsistent, in and out of sin, not really fully yielded, still holding on to things. You're not going to get that chance to bring glory to God and to see His name glorified and lifted up. And there are people in here, and I feel you right now. You're thinking about it because you know in you this is what you're called to. But there's still areas where you're holding back. We're going to make space for tonight for people to be able to repent. There's still bitterness in some of our hearts. It's sour. It should be pure. Your conscience should be pure and clear and clean. Oh, I've got Abby and Mia here. Everyone say hi to Abby and Mia. And what's your friend's name? Hosanna? That's a cool name. Hosanna in the highest. All right. So, can everyone see this? If you can't, can we try to get that up on the screen for people in the back? There we go. Now, let's zoom in to what we've got here. Abby, both of those, I might come down as well. Let's have a talk. I've got a few friends help me with this sermon illustration tonight. Both of these represent people, okay? And at first glance, it would look like they're both the same, right? The spirit of the person, for the sake of the The sermon analogy represents the water, or what would seem to be water, liquid. And at first observation, and when you first approach somebody, because we're all made in the image of God, we all look the same at first glance. But sometimes, inwardly, the enemy's been able to come in and cause the spirit of a person to be infected with bitterness. There's a sourness about their spirit and their heart through circumstances. And to be honest, unless you're born again, every spirit has been infected with sin. Sour, twisted. And in fact, the Bible says dead in sin. We're born into sin. And that's why Jesus said you must be born again. And when he was talking to Nicodemus, trying to explain this, in John chapter 3, he described the fleshly birth, and he said, that which is flesh. In other words, he's saying, to be born again doesn't mean you need to return to your mother's womb. I'm not talking about reincarnation, but rather, and I'm paraphrasing, by the way, but rather, you need to be born of the Spirit again. That which is flesh, that which is spirit. And at first observation, both spirits look the same. But here's what happens. Abby, what I want you to do is pour in to the born-again spirit, the one with clean conscience. I want you to pour in that into this vessel. That's pretty good. We should give her a round of applause as she does that. And while she's doing that, Mia, why don't you take the other person? Yeah, that's better. It'll pour quicker then. And you pour that into the other person. Can you guys see that up there if you can't see it? And maybe you could take that lid off so it's a little bit quicker as well. A lot of people say, God knows my heart. Don't judge me, brother. God knows my heart. And actually, that's true. At first observation, it's difficult for us to know the condition of someone's heart, because the heart is the inward part of who we are. Jesus did say, though, you'll know them by their fruit. So we can judge to see where someone is at with God by their fruit. But ultimately, God's the one that knows the heart. We can't necessarily judge or discern. But here's what happens. Abby, this stuff here represents the attack of the devil, right? I want you to try to attack the person with the clean conscience, with the pure heart first. And let's see what happens, okay? So you can see the enemy comes at Christians as much as he does anybody else. If you've been told that when you come to Christ, everything's going to be rosy and amazing, then you've been told, you've been hoodwinked. So I'm sorry if someone told you that. Now there's an element of truth in the fact that there's going to be amazing things that happen as believers, okay? And in Psalms 23, it talks about still waters and green pastures, which represents beautiful times with God. But in that very same psalm, it also talks about valleys. And in fact, the valley of the shadow of death is going to be difficult times. And that's when we really need Jesus, because he leads us. And we don't need to fear evil because he leads us. He's our shepherd. He provides for us. And so you can see when we first placed the devil's attack in this vessel, it was a bit murky. There was a stirring, but you can see it's starting to settle now. And that's what happens as a believer. You'll still be attacked, He'll still come at you. He'll tempt you. But stronger is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you're going to learn how to resist the devil. And when you get attacked, you're going to learn how to stand. Not take a back step. But we stand. And when we've done all to stand, we stand. It doesn't say when you've done all to stand, take a backward step. Pop, you know, I was thinking about this for Australia. The two animals on the emblem of Australia, what are they? Kangaroo and emu. They are, yeah, we can't forget about the kookaburra. Maybe we should add the kookaburra. But they're unique to Australia, those two animals. That's one thing unique about it. You know what else is unique? And I believe it's prophetic in terms of the DNA of who we are. They can't take a backward step. They just can't. They can't take a backward step. And I believe that's prophetic for us. The wild Aussies, the people from down under. You know, we used to have a reputation as the wild ones. In the last 2 or 3 years, the world has been looking at us going, what? How did you Aussies but allow all that crazy stuff? I thought you were the wild ones. But that's okay. Because the real DNA in us does not take a backward step. Amen? And we can learn from our mistakes. Anyway, getting back to this, you can see it's starting to settle now. But this other vessel is sour, is twisted. You might not be able to see it. But let's add a little bit of sin to it. The red represents sin at the moment. Add a few drops. And you can see the sin starting to move around into the spirit of the person. And the Bible actually says that sin kills your spirit. Before you're born again, you're actually dead in transgressions. That's why Christianity, you need to understand, it's not just a self-help measure, okay? That's a lot of sin. Look, it's all getting stirred up. Looks like what I used to look like, maybe. Thank God for Jesus. All right, I'm glad you got a few towels there. So, sin, bitterness, there's a sourness about the spirit of the person. It's affecting now the soul and the mind and the thinking. And now what the enemy wants to do, and this is what I talked about before with the hook. At the moment, it's kind of settled. It's certainly different. We can really see the difference now. But it doesn't look like there's too much turmoil taking place. And sometimes we look at the world and we think, man, I've got God. And they don't, but they seem to be prospering. They seem to be doing well. What's going on, God? But what we don't understand is life is short. Life is short. You never know what tomorrow will bring. And we may have trials on this earth, but ultimately, we need to be born again because death comes to us all. And Jesus is coming back soon. And also, the enemy sometimes is just waiting for the opportune time to pull that hook that he has in the spirit of man or in the spirit or in the soul or in the mind, to pull that hook so that he can cause the most damage and destruction and consequences as possible. I don't give any credit to the enemy, but in terms of understanding how sin works, and his authority over sin, he's had thousands of years to kind of know how it all works, right? So you might be doing okay now in your sin and it doesn't look too obvious, but what happens when the enemy strikes? When he pulls that cord? He wants to bring the most. Now we saw what happened when the enemy struck this one. There was a little bit of murkiness, but eventually it settled, right? What happens to the sour spirit, the one that's bitter, the one that's full of sin? Oh! Boom! Explodes, most impact. Like it'll wreck your carpet, everything. That's enough. No more devil. I rebuke you. That's a pretty different reaction, right? And that's why we see, like, the world has gone crazy. The Bible says that the devil knows that his time is short. And he is trying to cause as much consequence, destruction, as possible. And he's just waiting for that opportune time. You might think things are okay, things are settled, but you know that he has a hook, and when he pulls it, bang, it's over. And not only does it bring destruction to your life, but everything around you, it overflows and infects everything around you. It's the opposite of the kingdom, or the opposite consequences. The Spirit of God wants to flow out of you too and impact people in a positive way to bring life instead of destruction. I want to invite the band to come back up if that's okay. And now I want to invite everyone to stand to their feet. For some, this has been a cycle in your life where there's been, your spirit has been infected with sin. And then the enemy strikes and bang, consequence, destruction, turmoil. But tonight, God wants to get rid of all that, the bitterness, the sin that infects you, that tangles you. And he wants to clean your spirit. When the enemy strikes, it will do nothing. Because stronger is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want to invite people. First of all, I'm going to do a couple of calls. First of all, the ultimate way to get rid of the sin and the destruction, to stop the enemy from being able to cause that destruction and overflow into every area of your life, your family, your business, relationships, and ultimately wants to send you to hell. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to have a clean conscience, for God to breathe the ruach. You've heard me say that a few times tonight. It's the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit. To breathe His Spirit into you, which is pure, holy. Only God can fix you. You can have Band-Aids fixes with positive thinking and so forth, and it can Band-Aid and sort of help things a little bit, but ultimately, only God can get into the core of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're a sitting duck in your sin, but that can change. He can pull that hook out. He can break every strategy of the enemy, every weapon that's been formed against you to try and bring you down. That can stop tonight in Jesus' name. He can make you literally a brand new person. And when the enemy tries to attack you again, nothing, no reaction. No reaction. In fact, not only is there no reaction, it will backfire on the devil. And you'll be able to step into this promise where the Bible says, all things work together for good, even the attacks of the enemy. All things work together for good for those in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you to have courage tonight. No more cycles, self-destructive cycles. Ongoing sin. For some of you, it's an anger that you explode. The enemy hits the right button at the right time, you explode. Or it could be lust. Drunkenness. There's different strategies that he uses for all of us. But tonight you can be set free. I want to ask you to be brave right now and say, that's me. I'm done with this. And God, I want a brand new spirit. Purify me with the water of God. Purify me with your holy water. The Spirit of God, the river of living water that brings life and life more abundantly. The power of God that resists every attack of the enemy. No more torment. All the torment is coming off, is breaking. All the destruction. I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to come and stand here and I'm gonna pray for you personally right now. If that's you, come forward. There's gonna be a couple that will come forward and that'll start the domino effect. There's a number of people that need to come forward. Let's celebrate them as they do. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's give Him some praise. And I stand here tonight as someone that was, I was a vessel filled with destruction and death and sin and messed up. And I stand here not as a theologian necessarily, although I've given you plenty of scripture. More than that, I stand here as someone that has experienced the miracle working power of God, where literally sin and all the bitterness and all the pain was extracted out of my spirit, and God breathed His life in me in 2003, completely born again and delivered of every demonic torment in one fell swoop. And so I stand here tonight congratulating you, not condemning you, congratulating you, and saying, well done for having the courage to come forward and give your life fully over to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give Him some praise. Can I just have a show of hands? There seems to be quite a few people, which is amazing. Maybe there's some people supporting. But who's here at the front, just so I can see, because I want to be able to pray for you. Just put your hand up. That's amazing. Let's give them a round of applause. Come on. Awesome. Come on. If there's anybody else, feel free to come forward and just let me know if you have. We want to celebrate you and we want to pray together. The people on the side here, just put your hand up if you've responded to this right now. Awesome. Congratulations. Come on. Well done. Let's give Jesus some praise. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Glory to God. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That's our prayer. We're going to enter into that in a moment. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. All right, let's bring it down. What I'm going to do now is lead us in a prayer. And it's based on the Word of God. In the book of Romans, it says that we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, which means He's number one. And the reason you've come forward is it's a step of faith, or it's action to your faith. And He's proud of that. God's proud of your step forward tonight. It's faith in action. It's a sign of repentance and humility. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In Joel, in the Old Testament, He spoke about Ruach. He prophesied. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out Ruach. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, everyone. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I love the absolute nature of that articulation. He doesn't say you might be saved if God's having a good day, or you might be saved if you haven't done too many things wrong. But first of all, you'll need to jump through a whole lot of hoops first. He doesn't say that. Jesus went through all the hoops for you. He says, come as you are, and my power will deliver you and set you free and make you a brand new person. Jesus took everything on the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's a spiritual law. That's why we're dead in our sins, spiritually. But he goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Many of us, whether we realize it or not, we're in a prison of sin. And one way to sort of, it doesn't really do it justice, but it's an analogy that helps us understand a little bit. It's like you got a life sentence and there's no way out, but Jesus comes along and sorts things out with the judge and says, I'll take their penalty for them. I'll put up the bail. I'll put up the ultimate price so that they can go free. So their prison doors open. And that's what Jesus did for all of us. He fulfilled the law of sin and death by taking it upon himself. A perfect man, fully God, walked the earth for 33 years, the ultimate mission to be a martyr for us. For some of you, this doesn't fully make sense, and that's okay, because you're entering a life of discipleship. This is a first step. It's like planting a seed. You might not even fully see anything at the start, but when you plant a seed in the ground, you're doing it by faith, not even understanding how this thing grows. It's such a miracle the way we can plant a seed in the ground and then just see something grow. But this is what's happening spiritually. The seed of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, the incorruptible seed is being planted in your heart. And he's going to teach you how to water that seed. Teach you how to nurture the ground so the devil can't come and snatch it away again. A good ground hearer. One that hears the word of God and does it. That's who he's making you to be. Let's pray. You ready? I want to ask everyone to stretch out their hands towards our beautiful, amazing brothers and sisters in the faith that have made this commitment tonight to be all in, to be born again, to be set free. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, for dying on the cross, rising again on the third day. That's the whole Easter story, man, by the way. You don't need to repeat that part. That's Easter. You're going to really understand Easter now. This is what we're declaring and confessing. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my sin. God, wash me clean. Extract that from my heart. All the bitterness, all the sin. Take out every hook of the enemy and make me brand new. God, I want a clean heart, a clean conscience. And today, I choose to fully live for you. I'm going to hear your word and do it. I'm going to follow your word, the Bible. I want to be a disciple, God. I want to do everything I can to grow into everything that you've got for me. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give him some praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.